Thank you for checking out Random Musings from the Clinical Trials Guru. It really means a lot to me that you're listening to this podcast. If you listen and you like the content, then make sure you subscribe, make sure you leave a review. Please do that. And also go check me out on some of my other platforms. I have a long-running YouTube channel. I've got a blog, theclinicaltrialsguru.com. If you're interested in becoming a CRA or you're interested in getting a career in this industry, go to thecraacademy.com. If you're a research site owner interested in getting more studies for your site or negotiating better contracts for your site, go to my blog, theclinicaltrialsguru.com, and check it out. I offer consulting services. If you're a pharma, biotech, life sciences company, a CRO, I own a startup CRO, and we're here to help you, whatever it is you want. If you're a CRO, we can white label a lot of services for you. We have CRA coverage across the country at cost. We can do this at scale. If you're a pharma company, we are a full service CRO, and we're very confident in our pricing, and we are extremely competitive at bidding. And if you're also interested in your own digital marketing and leveraging a podcast maybe for yourself, reach out to me, dan@theclinicaltrialsguru.com. Again, thank you very much and enjoy the show.
Before we start recording, where we actually are, Philip Rivers, a Hall of Fame quarterback. Hey everybody, welcome to episode 200, and what do you think it is? You know it's in the 200s.
42.
Ooh, 241. Damn. 241.
So close.
We've been writing this book, and...
My wife says that often.
What?
So close.
So close?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Okay, moving on.
We'll move on. Not sure what I can... I mean, I can go a lot of directions with
that
one.
That's what I was doing.
Okay. Well, it is a podcast, but hello, YouTube. What's up? Wait for the book. It's going to be fantastic, right?
Yeah.
Not to speak in hyperboles, but it's going to be stupendous.
Yeah.
The book. It's really going to be all you need. All you needed to ever know about clinical research if you're trying to learn about the industry, or even if you already work in it, but you're trying to learn like some other aspects. We have a lot of stuff in there. It's not quite done.
No.
I'm at 27,000 words. I've been writing 1,000 words a day for the last week. So I'm very tired these days. You're about to take over soon and add another maybe 5,000 words.
Yeah, you're being very optimistic.
You will. You'll see. Knowing you, I know you'll...
All right.
Yeah, and it's going to be great. And we're going to definitely talk about the book a lot on this podcast. On YouTube, you're going to be seeing, oh, you do know I'm doing this. I'm producing I don't know how many hours going to be yet, 5 or 6, maybe even 7 hour video on clinical research.
Mm-hmm.
I have about 3 hours so far, maybe 2 and 45 minutes.
Okay.
And I have 2 more days of shooting tomorrow, so I'm going to do another 2 hours. And then Thursday, another 2 hours. So, but after you edit it, it's really like an hour and a half each time. So, 3 more hours plus. So, like between 5 to 7 hours.
It's a very long video to replace a 3 hour video.
To replace a 2 hour one. I looked at it and it's only 2 hours.
Wow.
The video that got like all those views, it's actually an hour and 59 minutes. This is going to be like 5. But this is way more comprehensive. That was the 2012 version of me. This is the 2019 version. I know a lot more. The 7 years.
Sure.
And I mean, I go into great detail on a number of things. So if you ever wanted like just one video to learn 80%, maybe even 90% of anything you've ever needed to learn about research, it's in that video. Now you're gonna want to buy the book too. Because it's just there to reference. You can just move through the pages.
Sure.
And you're going to want the audiobook too. This thing on.
Yes, are we going to have an index in the book?
Yeah, I'm thinking we're definitely going to have a reference, an appendix.
To do as you had just suggested, you would kind of, I think, need an index, wouldn't you?
Like for the words? Like what page the words are on?
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually thought of that, and I think Lucky's going to have to do that. The problem with that is it's in a Word document right now, so I have to see what it would actually look like in the book.
Right.
Amazon will let you do that when you upload it. So then you have to like go off of that. But then you have to upload the index. I'm not sure how that's going to work.
Also, maybe just table of contents.
Yeah. I mean, it's not going to be like a huge textbook. Like, it's going to be 200 pages max.
All right.
So you'll be able to find... And it's there is a table of contents, and it makes sense how everything's laid out. So you can like quickly jump to something about sites or source or CRA or sponsor stuff,
right?
Or regulatory or like a history of the GCP. It's all gonna be there outlined.
Okay.
So, because I don't know how to do the index without actually seeing it in the actual book first, and Amazon will give you like a paperback, but we won't be able to see it until after it's done.
So you can do just like two blank pages in Word and then the index?
Because there's images too. And I don't know how they cut the pages.
Right.
So anyways, but the book's going to be great. And then they're going to want the audiobook. And we're going to have to rent a studio, an audio. Kobe has a friend who
can
hook
us
up with a good deal.
Yeah.
And maybe spend about 8 hours recording it.
Right.
Just like we're doing today. But anyways, not to get too sidetracked, but this is what podcasts are for. We can go, you know, take a deep dive into various different tangents and facets of our life.
No, great.
And if we could really talk about all facets of our businesses, this would be a very entertaining show.
Oh, without a doubt.
And maybe one day we'll have the intestinal fortitude to do that.
Yeah, just don't need to burn any bridges right now.
No, but we've got some stories to tell when I'm older.
Yeah, there you go.
Right?
When bridges no longer matter.
That's right. I actually don't think we would burn bridges by telling stories.
No.
We wouldn't expose any names, but we would just tell the... We would make up names and talk about the...
Yeah, I still can't upset them.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. That'll make a great episode one day. Just not yet.
Sure.
Maybe 2021. All right. So on a serious note, we got a... Too soon. Maybe not. So on a serious note, I got a Instagram direct message request for this podcast. All right. So the podcast... this podcast is going to be about CRA burnout. And mental stability. So let me read the DM first. And then there's an article that this person sent me. So let me pull it up right now. So while I'm looking, talk a little bit about why CRAs get burned out.
Yeah, well, I really don't need to go into great detail. It's a matter of just being overworked. Lots of responsibilities, lots of travel. A lot of it is expected of you as a CRA.
Mm-hmm.
But I really think it's the travel. Because any CRAs that are local that I've ever worked with, they don't seem to have that issue. I think it's waking up. I've heard a few CRAs say waking up and not knowing what city you're in consistently, constantly.
Right.
Makes it difficult. I would tend to agree. I wouldn't want that lifestyle.
Okay, so, and talk about how we have a lot of CRAs that want to open sites. This is a segue for us.
Yeah.
For this exact reason, right?
Yeah, this is true. I mean, we just took on one of our newer clients. Like 3 weeks ago, took on a client, currently a CRA. He's been a CRA for a couple of years. And he said specifically he wants to open up a site because he sees in his industry how all the CRAs who've been doing this for 5, 6, 7 years are all burnt out.
Mm-hmm. And it seems like every month we add a new CRA to the client database for us.
Yeah.
Okay. So I found the article and the message and the article. So, will there be an episode about mental health and CRAs? And I said, it's a great topic. No, I have not done one. Well, I saw an article on LinkedIn about it, and I'm going to read it. And it talked about burnout and mental health in the CRA space. And as a current struggling new CRA for less than a year, I can definitely say this role has taken a toll on my mental health. It's also unfortunate how easily mental health can be dismissed in a big CRO, depending on your line manager. Speaking on my personal experience these past few months.
Mm-hmm.
So that's disturbing to me, right?
Well, I'll go on a tangent real quick.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm going to pull up the article.
There was a study that we worked on like 5 years ago.
Oh, yeah. Tell the story.
Oh, you know where I'm going?
Yeah, but it's a good one.
Okay, so the CRA, she was a younger gal. I'm guessing 25-ish, no older than 30.
Okay, I don't know where you're going.
And she's in the back room where you're used for CRAs, right? Anyhow, Rosario, safe to say Rosario on this, right?
Yeah, she doesn't care.
Right. So Rosario, the coordinator, she came to me up front and she said, you know, our CRA's back there crying, right? Because she's across the hall from her.
Wow, I don't think I heard this story.
Well, yeah, I've told you the story.
Yeah?
Yeah. She says she's back there crying. What am I supposed to do? And I said, I have no idea. I mean, maybe she just took a phone call or something, right?
Yeah.
Just go back to work, right? Leave her be.
Yeah.
Don't embarrass her.
Yeah.
So she goes back to work. She comes about like 15, 20 minutes later and she says she's still crying. It's like, okay. So we both go back there to find out what's going on, right?
Yeah.
And it was just about her job. Right, she had gotten an email or spoke to somebody on the phone, her line manager or something, who had told her that they needed her to go to a few more sites right before she goes home. And she lived in Chicago, I believe. And she said she hadn't been. Now she lives in Chicago. She was in California.
Yeah.
This was happening. She said she hadn't been home in 3 weeks. Right.
Okay.
And she had a young daughter and hadn't seen her. Right? And she was told that she still needed to go for another week or two before going home.
Dang. And
right?
She was a new, relatively new CRA?
Yeah. She'd only been doing it like a year and a half.
See, one thing, like everyone, and I do remember this story, everyone who aspires to be a CRA, this is the stuff you don't hear ever.
Right. Yep.
Right? Like.
No, I think she was exaggerating a little bit because typically they don't have you work on the weekends, but I don't know.
Oh, well, I'm sure she's doing her report. Like, maybe it's. But the only time she can catch up on her reports is on the weekends.
Right, but she's still home. She said she hadn't been home in 3 weeks.
Oh, okay, maybe she's like stayed at the hotel or something.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. It was all.
Wow. Yeah, so that's what people don't talk about when they talk about striving to be a CRA. And we have a CRA Academy. I mean, we have people every quarter striving to get in. And by the time they're done with our CRA Academy, which we call the CRA Academy, but it's really like a clinical research academy. We teach you everything you need to know to be almost any position.
Right, how to work in the industry.
We use CRA because it's the most popular thing everybody wants.
Sure.
It's more for branding, but our goal is to convince you of, and teach you and educate you on other positions that are out there.
And, I mean, it is a well-paying job.
Right? Yeah.
But you're also very, you also work very hard for your money.
Right. And the work, and especially when you're in your first 2 years.
Oh yeah, and traveling all the time.
They're gonna put you. They're not gonna put their senior CRAs on those stressful projects because they want to keep them.
Right.
Where the cold reality is, and the harsh truth is, if you're a new CRA, they're gonna work you to the bone because they're not so concerned about keeping you.
Well, that, and then some companies have seniority, right?
Right.
You have rights the longer you've been with the company.
But if they're gonna lose someone. If they're going to treat someone well, they're going to treat the people that have been with them longer.
Sure, known product versus unknown product.
Right, which is unfortunate. And this is why there's so much CRA turnover. I mean, it's crazy in the industry, and it contributes directly to the amount of money we spend on healthcare. But we're not going to get into that kind of stuff right now.
The other story, this article. The other story you were thinking of was the older CRA that started crying, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And she was kind of hitting on you. At one point.
I don't know if she's hitting on me. She was questionable, yeah. But she was...
And I would avoid her. I would see her.
Yeah.
And I would go the long way to get around her.
Sure. But yeah, she had had enough too. She quit.
Yeah. She was a bit of a strange one though.
She was a good CRA though. She did her job well.
All right, so let me read this article. Okay, it's from Clinical Leader. CRA burnout. How big a problem is it really? All right. Clinical research associate turnover has long been a complex and challenging issue. We can recruit more CRAs. Yeah, okay, I could skip a lot of this fluff. A happier CRA is more likely to stay with an employer and will lead to greater productivity, resulting in better efficiencies within clinical trials. All right, let's get to the good stuff. So it's an inherently stressful lifestyle. This is what people may not know.
Without a doubt. But this is beneficial to our students.
What?
This is beneficial to our students, right?
Oh, beneficial.
If you're looking to enter the industry as a CRA, you want a high turnover rate.
Right, yeah. Right? So. It always, that churn actually helps you. Yep. Good point.
Yep.
Until you become that churn.
Exactly.
And then you have mental health problems. Well, anxiety. Yeah. A lot of people have, I have mental illness in my family. A lot of people have dormant stuff that, you know, as long as there's no triggers, like, you'll be fine.
Right.
Like, I have schizophrenia in my family. I think I inherited the good parts of that, like. I have bipolar mania in my family.
Right, not schizophrenia.
A little bit of both. It, like, they're, it blurs, it crosses over.
Yeah, they're similar. Very similar diseases.
So, it seemed like I only inherited the mania, but who knows if I have something there that will trigger a crazy depression, where I just don't do anything for a year.
Sure.
I don't know. I haven't been through that kind of stress. But the point of this person's Instagram and anyone else listening, they may have, like, 1 out of 5 people have a mental illness. This article is going to mention that too. And you don't know if you have something like underlying and then that stress triggers it.
Oh, sure.
It's very possible. So these things need to be taken seriously, especially by the big CROs. So the idea for this person's article came when they read a book called The Depression Cure, The 6-Step Program to Beat Depression Without Drugs. I read this book because I have severe depression, so this person's being honest. The author is being very transparent about themselves. They want to learn how to fix themselves. So taking it back to the daily role of traveling and CRAs, how are they at risk? Let's briefly look at the 6 lifestyle elements researched by this book. Exercise number 1, right? This tricks your stress response into the down regulation. CRAs have a sedentary lifestyle due to work, office work and traveling. Reduced exercise does not lower stress hormone, so the body can remain in fight or flight status. All right? Natural sunlight exposure. Natural daylight is 100 times more powerful than indoor artificial lighting. The lighting levels have a direct impact on stress hormones, vitamin D, blah, blah, blah. CRAs monitoring inside, working in offices and transport on may not get enough natural sunlight. So they're potentially at risk. Restorative sleep pattern. This is required for processing neurochemicals. CRA's sleep pattern can be affected by travel, staying in hotels, and workload. This was also mentioned by some CRAs who completed these people's survey. Right? Social connectedness.
Yeah, good luck with that previous one, having a sleep pattern.
A good sleep pattern as a CRA.
Yeah, good luck.
Here's number 4, social connectedness. Brain activity is regulated by social connections. Periods of isolation can upregulate stress hormones. This is the one who cried on your shoulder.
Yeah.
All right? This is exactly her. CRAs who often work in isolation, are home-based, and travel have reduced social connectedness. Tough life. Tough job.
Yeah, absolutely.
Value-related activity. This is engaging activity related to your own personal values. If work takes precedent and you are unable to construct a meaningful work-life balance around your values, your stress response will increase. And then omega-3 fatty acids. CRAs may not be at any more risk than the average person. However, a CRA's food choices may be limited when traveling, working late in the office, and monitoring on site. I remember what it was like to be that CRA, tired. This person's now writing in the article. So they did a survey, and the good news is, for all the listeners and watch, they ended this article with a cliffhanger. They sent a survey to...
Cliffhanger?
Yeah, they sent a survey to 700 different CRAs. Researchers. Many of them are CRAs, but
okay.
700 positions. From different organizations and countries and all this stuff. And the cliffhanger is, you know, they're focusing on what is burnout, where is a CRA as far as like their mood, they're quantifying all these things, these, you know, how do you feel as far as your health, your emotional stability, workload, and they're going to have the results for this survey. The good news for all of our listeners is we have our own informal surveys that we did of monitors crying on your shoulders and monitors calling us. Is it every day or maybe every, at least once a week, a CRA is calling us about wanting to start a site or do something else.
Yeah, I agree.
Right. So we have our own informal surveys.
Yeah, well, a number of CRAs we know. We know a CRA that like works 1 year as a CRA and then takes a year or two off and goes back for a year.
So these fancy people are doing like 700 surveys, questionnaires. Right. We're on the phone with these people. They're literally crying on your shoulder every day. They're crying to us over the phone. Half an hour calls, 1 hour calls, 2 hour calls.
Yeah.
Right? So we've done our own informal surveys and we can tell you, yes. The answer is yes.
Yeah, their burnout. I would say without a doubt, it's yes.
Their burnout, they're, as crazy as it is to say, because they get paid a lot, underpaid for what they do.
Well, you know, I don't know if they're underpaid, honestly.
It varies. Some are underpaid.
Some are, sure, some are.
The student today said his friend is an oncology CRA and only gets 60K a year. Yeah,
that's ridiculous. He's being lied to. It has to be.
She must not travel and must be an internal CRA for that university.
Yeah, yes. There you go.
Because which is not really a CRA. It's more like a coordinator.
Right.
Or like or a
QA.
QA specialist at the site.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would make a lot more sense.
Right. But, I mean, we can tell you that, yes, the mental health thing is real. Like, just last month, one of our clients who's also monitoring and hasn't given up that job.
Right.
But is running a site is telling me she's not sleeping. Mm-hmm. She's doing bad in her job because she's trying to run the site.
Well, but she's not sleeping it because A, stress is B, she's taking on a lot of responsibilities.
More than she can handle. But the reason why she wanted to open the site in the first place is because she was stressed out with her job.
Sure.
Right? So it's stressful. And now her line man, and she's a senior CRA, and her line managers are coming down on her right now. Like, they're micromanaging.
No, I think she quit.
She already quit?
Yeah, if you're talking about the person I'm thinking of.
But this was a month ago when she was telling me.
Yeah, she just quit like last week.
Well, good. I mean, she's going to have some. And when you're a senior CRA, and this is what I told this person on Instagram, unfortunately, you're at that stage where you just got to tough it out. Obviously, you got to take care of your mental health first. But if you can survive there, even if it means, you know, your work quality of your work takes a hit, as long as you don't get fired, just coast as much as you can for another year. Now you'll have 2 years on your CV and you can go anywhere now. And you can get lucky and have a line manager that's supportive and you at the same company too.
Sure.
And you can get a line manager that's just an asshole and doesn't care about you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So anything else you want to add? Or is that enough about the CRA? I mean, it's real stuff. CRA burnout.
I'm going to reiterate. I think they get paid well, for the most part.
Right.
Even for the stress. I mean...
And we know...
What are they supposed to get paid? $1 million a year? No.
Right.
Come on.
And we know CRAs that are in their 80s that are monitoring and love it.
Yeah.
Here's one thing we know from our informal survey as well.
And that one you're referring to, she only drives to her sites.
Yeah. She's a SoCal CRA. But here's... Here's one thing we know, another thing we know from our informal survey. It's infinitely better to be a CRA for a sponsor or a biotech or something on the sponsor side than it is to be at a factory CRO.
Yeah, be contract or direct with a sponsor.
With a sponsor or go with a very boutique niche CRO, like a small one.
Sure.
Avoid the big CROs, IQVIA, PPD, Park. I've heard good things about all of these, and I've heard bad things about all of these
as well.
Me too. But it seems like the common themes are sponsor CROs are best, and they're happiest.
Yeah.
And then boutique CROs are also good work-life balance. And then where most people struggle with burnout is the mega CROs. Mm-hmm. Because they're factories.
Sure.
They only get paid based on how many days you're on site as a CRA.
Yeah.
All right, anything else?
No, I think that covers it.
I'm ready to get going. Thank you, everyone, for listening, watching. If you're a CRA and you're going through a period of stress, take it easy. Take a deep breath.
As much as you can.
Relax. I would say compromise the quality of your work until you get your shit together mentally.
All right.
And then once you get that 2 years, go somewhere else.
The best thing for stress is exercise. Yeah, get more exercise.
But yeah, but that's also the best thing for weight loss, and we have fat people everywhere.
Yeah, so. I'm just saying. I think
my advice is more practical.
Yeah, but my advice only takes 20-30 minutes every day.
Yeah, I should be running too. And I need to get back into it. All right. Thank you, everybody. Good luck, and catch y'all later. Bye-bye.
So hey everybody, thank you very much for listening to another episode of Random Musings from the Clinical Trials Guru. Again, if you haven't already, make sure you subscribe to this podcast. Make sure you leave a review, if you could be so kind, please. And also go to theclinicaltrialsguru.com if you're interested in learning more about who I am, who some of my guests are. You can have access to some of my YouTube videos. I do a lot of videos about clinical research. So go to theclinicaltrialsguru.com. And you can also call or text me anytime, 949-415-6256. Also follow me on any social media platform. It's Dan Svera. And you can also email me if you'd like, dan@theclinicaltrialsguru.com. Thank you very much.